Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're here with us this Sunday evening, March the 3rd, 2024. Time is just marching on so fast.
Yeah, March.
Marching on. That's right. You picked up on that. That's good. So, friends, we want to welcome you here. It's really good to have everyone here. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And, you know, we're really grateful for New Visions Radio and Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here on this network each and every Sunday.
Yes, it's a great opportunity. We're really nobody, but
exactly.
God has given us this opportunity through Ray that we can just talk about God's Word.
And, you know, it's an amazing thing that this is actually an independent music station, and Ray felt the need, and I think it was Michael Knight also, which was there at the very beginning, and they felt the need to, let's have some spiritual stuff here along with this independent music.
Well, I think what happened is they heard us sing and say, we can't have that on our radio station, but you guys can talk.
No music from you guys, but if you want to talk, we'll let you talk. Yeah. And we don't want to put your picture up on the website because you both have faces for radio.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, it's really a blessing to be here, friends. And tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed, would you?
Sure. Prophecies of Hope is just a little fellowship, church, what have you, in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. If you're in the area, stop by and see us. We have our services on Wednesday evening. We have kind of a Bible study / prayer time at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is available via Zoom if you're interested. Mm-hmm. And we have our church services on Sabbath, or the Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study that starts at 9:30, which is live streamed from our website, as well as available via Zoom. And then we have our worship hour at 11, which is only available via live stream.
Yeah, and all of those times are Eastern Time USA. Yes. I think when New Visions Radio first started, I think they started on the West Coast. So that's why we always say Eastern Time, plus with the World Wide Web,
right. You
know, people all over the world. We actually have people tuning in on Sabbath morning here in India when it's actually nighttime over there. They're 12 hours ahead of us.
France.
Yeah.
Great Britain.
Yes, that's right. And it's such a blessing to be able to do that. And, you know, again, the privilege to be able to be here, to be able to just open God's Word and read from it to see what it says.
Yes.
And that's what this ministry is all about. We really push hard to don't follow what we say. Make sure the things that we're saying is coming from God's Word, the Bible.
And there's an example of that in Acts 17. It's the Bereans, be a Berean. Mm-hmm. They heard Paul preach. And daily, they checked out the scriptures to make sure what he was saying was actually what the scriptures said.
Yes. So the suggestion is, if you hear something, or you hear us say something, or you're reading the Bible and you say, wait a minute, what they're saying, I see it here, but there's a seeming contradiction somewhere, or right. I've always been taught something else, shoot us an email. Ask us the question. We may or may not have an answer. If we don't, we'll seek to find one in the Bible.
Right. And we'll tell you.
And we'll tell you. We don't know.
Yeah.
And if we have a Bible answer, we'll share that on the air. And you don't have to give your name. We won't share your name unless you want your name put over there. You know, we'll keep that quiet. But please send us an email. You can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And you can get a hold of me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Or if you want to send a general email, you can't remember our names because you don't want to, you can send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. So I think that's all the business we have to do. We just wanted to bring people up to speed. And the reason why we do this every week, friends, we give you this information every week, is because each week there are different people tuning in.
Right.
And we just want to make sure everyone has an opportunity. Oh, one last thing is on our website, prophecyhope.com, you will find all of the sermons that we've given since 2012, all of the Bible series that we have done. You'll find many of the radio programs there, and most all of them are archived on the website. So just go there and just poke around a little bit and look and see what you find. You'll even see pictures of our ugly mugs right there on the screen if you look hard
enough.
And
you'll see why we're on radio.
That's exactly right. But, you know, Ed, we always pray. We ask for God's blessing before we start. Would you pray for us, please?
Father in heaven, as we open your word today, we thank you for this privilege of reading your word to give us information about who you are and the plan of salvation. Father, we've been talking a lot about revelation and this idea of this call at the end of the time, come out of her, my people. Father, as we discuss this more thoroughly today, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, in the weeks past, we have identified from the Bible Babylon, and then we found out that this Babylon has daughters,
yes,
so to speak. And I think it says, as you said, come out of her, right? So we were going to talk a little bit about that. So the programs that we've done in the past, we've identified Babylon as, and I'm just going to say it right up front, if this is your first program, you may be offended by this, but go back and listen. We've identified Babylon as what, Ed?
It's the papal power, the papacy.
Yes, and it's not saying that Catholic people are wicked people.
Right, but Babylon is more than that. It's those other churches and organizations, denominations, that teach some of the same false doctrines that the Catholic Church does.
Yes.
They're considered the daughters of Babylon.
That's right. And so that you know, because somebody asked me this just this past week, we kind of throw these words around sometimes, and people aren't always used to them or maybe don't understand what they mean. The Protestant churches.
Yes.
What is a Protestant, Ed?
Back in the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church, the papal power, was persecuting Christians, putting them to death, up to 150 million over those 1,260 years,
yes,
there was a group, not a group, but many different places in the world, people were rising up and saying, hey, I've read the Bible. It doesn't say that. They were protesting not only what the Catholic Church was doing against the Christian, the Protestant Christians, but by teaching false doctrines that the Bible didn't teach.
Okay, so.
And this occurred because the Bible became available in the common language. And so now people could read it for themselves. They could be a Berean.
Yes, that you mentioned before the prayer, right? So what had happened, just a little bit of history, and you can look into this, you can find this information. The papacy or the Catholic leadership had the Bible pretty much sewn up, that only they could read and interpret it.
Well, it was in Latin, and the only one you could find is a chained to a wall in a monastery.
Yeah. So finally, what happened is godly men found these manuscripts and found things and started to translate it. King James actually had about, I think, 40 translators that worked on putting this Bible together and putting it into the English language.
Right.
And then there was a man named Gutenberg that made a printing press of sorts and mass-produced the Bible,
right.
I think for the first time. And so this put the Bible in the hands of people. And you can imagine, if you've been told that something says something, and then you open it up and you see, well, wait, it doesn't say what I was told it says.
Right.
You can imagine the upheaval, especially when it comes to God and Jesus Christ and our worship. So this is what we've been talking about over the weeks. So, you know, when we point the finger at the papacy, we're not just pointing the finger at the papacy, and it's not us pointing the finger, it's the Bible.
Yes.
But it also points the finger at churches that are called Protestant churches, those movements that came out of Catholicism.
Right.
And why is that, Ed?
Because they're going back into Catholicism.
They're following
They're
right
teaching
back.
The same doctrines.
Yes. And we touched on some of those doctrines last week. And what that caused us to do is, as we were talking right near the close of the program, Ed mentioned something that I think every Christian should do, and that is sharing their testimony.
Yeah.
If you are a Christian, you have a story. You have a testimony to share with people. And sharing that is uplifting not only to those that hear it, but it can build your faith as you reflect back on the things that happened in your lifetime.
Right.
So what we thought we would do this evening is we would take the time to just go back. And of course, these aren't going to be complete. There's so much information. It would take hours.
Yes.
But we're just going to share a little bit of how did we end up here? How did this happen?
How did we respond to this call, come out of her, my people, without knowing we were doing it?
That's right. Because let's face it, the vast majority of Christians, in my estimation, just the people that I know, let me put it that way, the vast majority of Christians that I know that go to church, they believe they're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And they believe they're worshiping exactly the way God wants them
to. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, I want to correct something. In my prayer, I said Revelation 17. It's actually Revelation 18:4 that talks about, come out of her, my people.
Okay.
Revelation 17 talks about the harlot and her daughters.
Okay. I heard you say it, but I didn't connect the dots there. So let's, Ed, where would you like to begin with this little testimony sharing time?
Well, you know, I think you may have a similar background than I do. I grew up in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
I attended Christian schools. I don't think you did.
No, I went to public school. Yeah. You can tell, probably.
including college, including my professional career as a physical therapist.
Mm.
And I began being involved in the church, being a deacon, being an elder, a head elder, a Sabbath school teacher.
Okay.
In church.
So you understood the Seventh-day Sabbath growing up?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. And so in doing so, over a period of time, I noticed that the Sabbath school, you had what you call a Sabbath school lesson that would give you what you're studying for that week. And you had a teacher's edition would give you more information. But I noticed they were teaching things that the Bible didn't say. Or actually, they were teaching things that were in opposition to what God's Word said. And to bolster their claims, they would not use God's Word, but they would using pagan philosophers to bolster their claims that you can't know God.
Hmm.
And so I remember teaching the lesson one day and bringing people to know what the Word of God actually says.
How do you do that? How did you do that?
By opening God's Word,
okay,
and reading the words on the page, the lesson was about Job chapter 11. In there, one of Job's friends was saying that you can't know God, and you can't understand Him. Da da da. Now, I'm not saying that I know everything about God. Obviously, I don't.
Sure,
but they were using this to proclaim their idea: you can't know God. To bolster their claim of the Trinity being truth.
Or God being a mystery to us, right?
But what they didn't do is read the whole story of Job.
Mm.
And you'll discover at the end of Job in chapter 42, this is God speaking to the man that was saying, you know, you can't know God.
Right.
Here in 42:8 it says, and now take to yourself seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job will pray for you. Surely I will lift up his face so as not to do with you according to your foolishness and that you have not spoken of me what is right, like my servant Job.
So there was some misleading going on.
Yes. But, of course, like most of us have done in the past, we look in the Bible to find something that supports our point of view.
Right. I'm guilty of that.
Versus, instead of looking at the Bible simply to find out what it says.
Mm.
And so sometimes that means collecting evidence over a period of time before you come to a conclusion.
Right.
So I was just happening in my personal study this morning. I came across this text in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And this is what it says, you know, to those who say you can't know God, that God is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start in verse 15 because that's where the sentence starts. Therefore, I also, this is Paul speaking, hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love to all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ as a God, did you see that?
Yes.
The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, it's his Father.
Right.
The Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of God. So God himself gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know him.
Right.
So
you're saying, according to this verse, Jesus has a God.
Yes.
And God is also Jesus' Father.
Yes.
Based on what we find in other scripture.
Right.
So when you read this, why was this so, why did this strike you this morning when you found this?
Because I hadn't, even though it was underlined in my Bible, it hadn't gotten into my memory. It was just more evidence that God wants a relationship with us, that he wants us to know him.
Right.
And so this is contrary to what a lot of people say about God, that God is a mystery, you can't understand him.
I hear that constantly.
So I kept teaching for a while, and then I met you guys, you know, Rick and Mary and you, Mark, and some others that were starting to evangelize, starting to spread the gospel by organizing what we now know as Prophecies of Hope.
Right.
But I kept teaching at this church for maybe 2.5 years after I met you guys. And the lessons kept on getting worse and worse and worse.
What do you mean, worse and worse and worse?
More, not saying things that the Bible didn't say. Ah. Trying to, especially about the Trinity.
Hmm.
Trying to support that.
So there was an agenda there, yes. It seems.
So, you know, it's interesting because my understanding of God's Word started because I prayed a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Before I asked you and Rick and Mary to come over to my house one Sabbath afternoon,
right,
to tell me what you believe. There's a long story behind this. We had an organization that was maybe 40 people, maybe more, that were gathering together to organize these evangelism series.
Yeah.
First one, we had 250 people attending each night. And then the next year, things just fell apart. Oh, Mark believes something weird, something different. You know, and so I overheard Rick and you talking, and Rick go, well, why don't they just ask you, Mark, what you believe instead of trying to go behind your back and think they know what you believe? So prior to this time, I prayed the prayer, you know, asking for wisdom and understanding, claiming the promises of James chapter 1, asking for guidance by the Spirit of truth, the promise that Jesus gave in John 16, and I prayed that I wouldn't be deceived.
Hmm.
But even before we met, I was still studying on my own.
Of course.
And I went to Colossians chapter 2 because someone who I respect, a pastor that had come to the knowledge of God through the study of God's Word, was saying that God is a mystery.
Hmm.
And you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
And he used this text in Colossians chapter 2. And let me read this to you. I'm going to start in verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And he was saying, there it is. It says, God is a mystery. Well, the words in this order, God is a mystery, is not in this text.
That's
in
true.
Any version. It does talk about the mystery of God, but it also talks about, Paul wants us to have the riches of the full assurance of the understanding and the full knowledge of the mystery of God.
That's what it says.
And of the Father and of Christ. So he wants us to have a full understanding of those three things, the mystery of God, the Father, and Christ. So how does that make God a mystery that you can't understand? He's saying the opposite.
He's saying that God wants us to know who he is.
And so,
and that's Paul we're talking about here in this Colossians 2.
And having the understanding of in Bible study that You need to read the verses around in context to know what's being talked about here. I went to chapter 1 of Colossians.
Okay.
And I'm going to begin in let's start in verse 25. It's in the middle of a sentence. Paul uses long, long sentences.
He does.
He wants to get every bit of information to people. Verse 25, of which I became a minister, Paul speaking here, according to the administration of God given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. For to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, for which I also labor, striving according to the working of him who works in me in power. Continuing in verse chapter 2, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all the riches, again, of the full assurance of understanding to the full knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory,
right,
and of the Father and of Christ. So this verse in Colossians 2:2 isn't saying God is a mystery at all.
Right.
Paul is saying he wants us to understand the mystery of God, which we learned in chapter 1, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which has been hidden from the ages, but has been revealed to the saints.
So this struck you because you had been hearing in your church that, well, God's a mystery, who can know him,
right?
And that's why there's this, I've heard people say it, the mystery of the Trinity.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're taking a word that doesn't exist in the Bible, the word Trinity. They're making God someone that he's not reflected to be in the Bible whatsoever. And then what they're doing is mystifying it by saying, well, we can't possibly understand it.
Think about that. If you can't understand it, how do you know there's a Trinity?
That's a great question.
But, you know, anyways, you know, this tells me that people are using this verse not to find truth, not to understand what God's word says. They're just using it to try to prove their point of view. And they're misusing it because they don't understand what it says, because they don't read it to find out what it says. They just see God is a mystery, so that proves that, or it actually says the mystery of God, so that proves that God is a mystery.
So when you read this text, when you read this text, What did that cause you to do in your mind as you studied through this? What started to happen to your thought process?
I discovered I need to study God's word to find out what it says versus proving somebody else wrong, proving myself right, proving my church right. I just wanted to know what the Bible said.
Not many people feel that way, Ed. The vast majority of us, including myself, have felt in the past like, well, you know, this is where my family and my friends and all these people that we know, you know, you had family and friends that are there in that church, but you weren't concerned as much with pleasing them as saying, well, wait a minute, I want to know what the Bible says. Yes. It doesn't matter to me what my church teaches.
Right. Well, you know, after I met with you and Rick and Mary, our husband and wife, and part of what you guys showed me was John 14.
Okay. You want to take us there?
Sure, let's go there.
The difference that this made in your life.
Yeah. John 14. And we're reading, let me just start in verse 6.
So I want to give a little backstory to this, because you invited us to your house.
Yes.
And we came over and sat down, and we just kind of started off with prayer and a little discussion. And then somehow we went to John 14,
right?
And Rick asked his wife Mary to read from that. And as she was reading, what happened?
I said, wait a minute, stop. Let me read this.
There you go.
And I saw the words on the page.
Okay.
And it's going to be a little long, starting in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, this is Jesus, remember, in John 13, and I didn't realize this at the time, is after the Last Supper has been completed, Judas has gone out to betray Christ, and Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come.
So, yeah, you're just giving a little backstory here.
And so here in John 14, he starts out, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And Thomas in verse 5 says, or actually Jesus in verse 4 says, and where I go, you know, and you and the way you know. And Thomas asked him, Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you have known me, you would have also known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have served him, seen him. I want to stop here.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, I didn't know what these words were saying.
Right.
If you have known me, you would have known my Father. Why does Jesus say that? Because every word he spoke were the words his Father gave him to speak.
Yes.
All the miracles he did it through the Spirit of God.
Right.
The power of the Spirit of God working through him. And so if they know Jesus, he's really doing what his Father told him to do, so thus they know the character of his Father.
So really this starts, if we understand this, which like you said at the time when you first read it, you didn't understand this like you do today.
Right.
But this starts to unfold that what people call the mystery of God, doesn't
right.
it? Because here Jesus is showing them, look, I'm revealing the
yes.
Father to you through my actions
yes.
because he gives me these things to say and do.
Right.
Isn't that what this is saying?
Yes, exactly.
So go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there to kind of simplify it for folks.
Verse 11 of John 14, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. That's a whole other study in itself.
Mm.
John 13. And whatever you may ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, here we go. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, so that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Who is the way, the truth, and the life?
Yeah, John 14:6, Jesus said of himself that he is the way, the truth, and
yes.
the life.
John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Who do the disciples know?
They knew Jesus.
Who dwells with them?
Jesus.
And who will be in them?
Jesus.
John 14:18, the King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
So this goes right along with the text that you were reading in Colossians 1.
Yes.
So now there's some things that might confuse some people here, and that Jesus here uses language when he says things like, he may abide with you, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Who is Jesus speaking about here?
Himself. He's
himself.
Using the third person, which he did frequently,
speaking
talking about the Good Shepherd, the Son of Man. He used the third person narrative quite frequently.
Right, right. So that's not to be confused, because so many people, when they hear third person, they think of a third person.
Right.
He was speaking in the third person.
And for example, in verse 16, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Mm-hmm.
What's Jesus trying to do in this, even in this chapter? He's trying to comfort them.
Yes.
Because he's going to be leaving, and they can't go where he's going. How will Jesus be another comforter? Because he has this experience as a human being. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Mm.
That's Romans 8. Hebrews 2 says he was made all ways like his brethren.
Right.
And so now, after Christ returns to heaven, and we receive the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ, he is another comforter in that he's had the human experience. He was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. He can help us, according to Hebrews 2 in the Modern King James, the last verse, that he can rescue us in our time of need. Because he's had this experience. He's the captain of our salvation. He was perfected through sufferings, according to Hebrews chapter 2.
Right.
So I didn't know all this at the time, but when I saw John 18, I will not leave you comfortless.
John 14:18.
I will come to you. Right. It's Christ that comes to you. Let's keep going.
Sure.
Verse 19, yet a little while the world does not see me anymore, but you see me, because I live, you shall also live. At that day you shall know that I am in Father, and you in me, and I in you.
So this is Jesus speaking.
Yes. Jesus is saying, I will be in you. You know, he talks about this comforter that shall be in you in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth.
So I just want to ask, at the time when you had read this, because I remember very well you saying, hold on, stop, let me read this.
Yes.
When you were reading through this, you kind of read it silently, and then you read it out loud, if I remember correctly, because you kind of were scanning through it. And I'm just curious, when you got to this part where it says, I will come to you, what were you thinking? Do you remember?
I remember Jesus is talking about himself.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit being talked about here is the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
I started crying.
Yeah.
It really hit me emotionally. And I've learned a lot since then.
Well, let me ask you, why was this so emotional for you? Some people say, well, what difference does it make whether it's Jesus or this Holy Spirit?
Because of what I've already studied so far, realizing that my church was trying to teach things the Bible didn't say, and seeing God answering my prayer of giving wisdom and understanding, guide me by the Spirit of Truth.
Right.
Don't let me be deceived.
Right. The Spirit of Truth. We just read, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So it's the Spirit of Christ now that's directing you. It's not another person.
Let's keep going.
Sure.
Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Mm-hmm. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. There's only one way to the Father, that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have to have the Spirit of Christ in us in order to receive the Spirit of God.
Right.
Two different beings. They're not the same person.
No, they're not.
So when I saw this, I had this emotional response to seeing and knowing something I hadn't known before. That makes perfect sense by reading the words on the page.
Yes, which was contrary to what your church was telling you.
But I by no means stopped studying this. I actually studied more to be sure that my understanding was correct.
Right.
I continued that prayer. But I also had a choice to make. Do I believe God answered my prayer by the studying had been done and seeing actually the words on the page? Or do I continue to follow what my church teaches?
Wow.
I chose to believe the words on the page, and I chose to continue to study more in depth because I wanted more understanding. I wanted more knowledge because this, in reality, is talking about the plan of salvation.
Mm.
It's only through Christ that we have salvation. No one else, no other being. And the beauty that God has provided, not only forgiveness of sins through the death of his Son, but ability to overcome sin in this life that we live, because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
There's no other way.
There is no other way. And so, as a result of this, how did this change your life in any particular way? or maybe your routine, or
yes, it gave me hope in my life, where I had a little understanding of the gospel, but I also had the realization of the reality of this life we live in this world. Like I'd like to say about Romans 7, Paul was real about life and the challenges and the temptations we have to deal with in this world. It gave me hope that I didn't have before, because I didn't have this knowledge before of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. It also gave me understanding more and more as I continued to teach in this church I used to go to. I would teach and then come over to fellowship with Prophecies of Hope for our
that's right.
Our worship hour.
Yeah.
And I finally made a choice. I was co-teaching. I would teach maybe every third time or something.
Right.
And the others, a friend of mine, Daryl, I finally came to him when the quarterly was getting worse and worse and worse, especially teaching about the Trinity. I said, I can't teach this because I don't believe that. I can't teach here anymore. Mm. And so I ended up ending my affiliation with that church.
Wow. So now what happened with your, you know, naturally you love these people.
Yeah.
And what happened to that relationship?
Well, even when I was still going there and teaching, I was mocked a little bit.
Because you believed what the Bible said instead of what the church was teaching.
No one really knew what it was about. They just knew that you had some kind of odd belief.
Right.
And that the ministers were telling people to not only stay away from you, but stay away from Rick and Mary and myself and a few others that were still left out of these 40 or so or more people that had started this ministry.
Yeah, the group shrunk quick.
Yes.
Because there were people's churches were putting pressure on them.
Yeah, I didn't know this at the time, but there's two other men that were with me for a while at Prophecy of Hope. And the pastor went to the church board and he tried to censor us. Hmm. And the church board wouldn't do it.
Wow.
Because they knew me.
Yeah.
You know? Because I had been leading out of that church for a long time.
Yeah, of course. And I know, I think, you know, I know some of those folks, and I think they still respect you, but I think that they're uncomfortable.
They are. You can tell.
And what makes them uncomfortable is that you read your Bible and you know what it says.
Yeah. You know, in essence, in the long run, I've actually been shunned.
Yeah.
You know, a good friend of mine, we went for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. We would consistently, maybe twice a month, we'd go visit people in the nursing home, in the hospital, in people's homes. And, you know, so I had visited most of these people in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, most of those people will have nothing to do with me.
Wow. So let me ask you this. How do you feel your relationship is now with the Father and His Son versus how it was? I mean, because I've known you for quite a while, Ed, and I knew you when you were still part of that church.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just, your demeanor tells me you're a godly man. The way that you carry yourself, the conversations that you have, I could tell that that's on your heart. But has that changed any since that time till now?
The depth of understanding, the depth of my relationship with Christ and His Father has grown exponentially. It's just, I can't describe it. The knowledge I have of God's Word now is so much more than I've ever had. It's, my life has been changed because of that relationship. I've become closer to God and Son, and they've worked a work in my life. They've changed my character.
Sure. So there, your thinking is a little bit different.
Yes.
Because you're thinking according to God's Word and not men's.
Right.
Right.
And Christ is working in me.
Amen.
He's brought to me the Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Father, Spirit of Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever name you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still the same person in terms of being an introvert.
Yeah.
I'm still have some of those same things, but I have a peace and hope I didn't have before.
Now, I know you do. And I want to clarify, Now, the people are saying, wait a minute, Ed's here on the radio and he's talking every week. How could he be an introvert? Let me tell you, I remember when I first met Ed, he was so quiet. It was almost like you had to drag a conversation out of him. But now, when it comes to speaking God's word, you're not an introvert.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why is because you have this message.
All I do is bring people to the word of God, let it speak for itself.
Yeah.
I don't have to argue with anybody.
Right.
I just say, this is what I found the Bible to say. You can take it for or leave it, whatever you want to do. Study it for yourself. I say, don't believe it because I say it.
Right.
Don't believe it because I bring you to these texts. Study for yourself. Make sure for yourself.
Right. Now, keep in mind, I want everyone that's listening to know that you had a pretty extensive church family. Like you said, you grew up in this particular denomination.
Yeah.
You went to the Christian schools. You went to college. You were an elder, a deacon. You had done all of these things.
Right.
And so, you know, how has your life changed from then to now? I mean, as far as, you know, all of these people that you knew, now they're kind of soft shunning you. Do you, and some of them might shun you completely. Do you feel like you're missing out on anything? Do you feel like, you know, well,
what I wish I could do, but I feel there's this great wall of divide that I could, that people would just be willing to sit down and study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I had one person do that, but they were so defensive, they couldn't see the words on the page.
Right.
You know, they would claim to one word and one verse and say, this is why I believe this, where, you know, all these other verses, you know, it clearly says something different.
Right.
So my wish would be to all those folks that they would simply just be willing to sit down and open God's Word. Well, let's just read what it says.
Right. And so this is a challenge that each and every one of you listening may have when you hear something from the Bible that's contrary to what you've learned. Don't just discount it just because it's contrary. There are people that have come and studied with us, and they'll come with a different idea. We don't just say, well, they're crazy. We'll say, well, let's look and see what the Bible says
right.
in this regard. And the initial thought, it's hard to get away from that. The initial thought is they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Let's face it. I have to be honest.
Yeah.
But we have studied the Bible, and we're all here in this ministry in a different place now than we were just a few years ago.
Yeah.
We've learned things. What would you say is probably the most important thing from this whole journey that you have learned?
Romans 5:10.
Can you take us there and share
sure.
that with us?
Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And I had preached, I had studied the verses before that, but I didn't keep reading.
Okay.
You know, folks, keep reading. Don't stop at a certain verse because you think you find what you're looking for.
I know. That's so
important. So let me start in verse 6.
Sure.
This is Paul speaking. For we yet being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for the righteous one. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is saying in verse 6, when I was without strength,
right.
when I was without the ability to keep God's commandments, when I was without the ability to keep from living in sin, that's when God sent his son
right.
to die for me, while I was yet a sinner. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. My light bulb went off in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The death of Christ was to reconcile us to God.
So,
through
can you
forgiveness
explain
of sins.
Okay.
Sin separates us from God.
Right.
So Christ's death on the cross, his blood was shed for me, covers my sins. He bore the penalty for my sins.
Right.
So that I can be reconciled in a right standing before God.
Okay.
But there's a problem. I still have life to live.
That's true.
The devil's still out there trying to tempt me into sin.
Every day.
So here it says that we're reconciled to God through the death of his Son. How much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. The life he's living now. The life that he wants to live within me. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Christ has the experience of overcoming sin
yes.
in the human flesh on this earth,
right.
being tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. He has the power and the experience to help me overcome sin in my life. And he brings to me the Spirit of God.
Mm. So this is contrary to what a lot of Christians have been taught.
Very much so.
Because so many people, When we got in the studio, I let you hear a video
right.
of a pastor that you and I very much respect.
Yes.
And he made the statement that God came and died for us.
Right.
But who came and died for us?
The Son of God.
The Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Who has a God, which is his Father and God.
Yes.
Right? And so Christ, we've said this before, Christ has experienced something the Father hasn't.
Yes.
Right? He's experienced the human condition.
Yes.
He's come here and experienced and lived on this earth as we are, never sinned.
Yeah, Romans 8 says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yes. So this is why this is so important to you, because the church that you grew up in was teaching something contrary, maybe not as much then. What's happened there? What's the church seem to do now that they didn't do?
It's gotten more bizarre that the rationalization they come up with trying to promote the doctrine of the Trinity, and it's just they're doubling down. It's just getting more bizarre all the time.
Mm.
But they don't preach Romans 5:10. I don't know that they know Romans 5:10 or believe Romans 5:10.
I think
and,
that individuals
the difference
do.
That Jesus as the Son of God can make in our salvation. This is the whole gospel story.
It is.
The cross is part one. You can't have salvation without Jesus' death on the cross.
Amen.
Covering my sins, making me in a right standing before God, being reconciled.
Right.
But folks, I still have a life to live.
Right.
And if you experience life like I do, you know it's difficult.
So let's explain this a little bit. I know we've talked about this many times in the past, but for somebody who, you know, people love to hear testimonies.
Yeah.
And I think that there's probably going to be more listeners this evening than normal because of a personal testimony. So we look back and we say, okay, so you said the cross is part one.
Yes.
So, but, and you still have life to live. Well, most Christians will say, well, that's why Jesus died. But
no, that's why he lives.
That's why he lives today,
yes.
right?
God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is part two. This is the first part is justification.
Mm.
The second part is sanctification. We're sanctified by the Spirit of Christ, and who brings us the Spirit of God into our hearts. This is why Paul in Colossians 1, 27, 26, 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our hope of glory.
And this is so important, friends, because so many of us have been taught that there is another spirit in you
yes.
rather than the Spirit of Christ. We're taught that so many of us have been taught falsely that there are three divine beings, but there are two divine beings,
yes.
the Father and his begotten Son.
And each one, just as you have a spirit and I have a spirit,
mm-hmm.
God has a spirit and Christ
yes.
has a spirit.
Yes.
And if we go to Romans 8 real quick,
Let's do that.
I'll show you this.
Yeah, please. This is so important because this was a life changer for you.
Yes.
Ed. This
definitely.
Changed your life immensely.
Yes. Romans 8:8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is talking about living in the flesh according to Ephesians.
You have time. If you want to back up and read some of this, if you want to lay a foundation.
Let me just explain
okay,
this.
Okay, sure.
It's contrasting here, walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh is described in Ephesians chapter 5 as well mm-hmm. as walking in the Spirit. So walking in this flesh is, it lists all kinds of sins against God and right. His Son. Walking in the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering,
Galatians
kindness,
5.
Goodness, meekness, patience, against which
self-control.
Self-control, yeah. Against which there is no law. There's no law against doing those things.
Correct.
The works of the flesh, in Ephesians 5, Paul says, people that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
So now in Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Hmm.
If we don't have the Spirit of the Christ, we have no access to the Father.
To the Father. That's right.
You know, we don't have access to the Spirit of God, which is not a different being than the Father himself.
Right.
And if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, not somebody else, indeed the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Right.
But if the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from the dead,
The Father.
Yes, his Father, dwells in you, the one who raised up Christ from the dead shall also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who dwells in you. So this is telling me if I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I can't have the Spirit of God.
Right. So this all leads back to the things that we've talked about in the past. So many people separate body and spirit.
Yeah.
But you and I, the spirit is the breath. It's my thoughts. It's,
right.
it's you
your
know,
character,
right.
your emotions, whatever you want to call it.
When I die, that perishes.
That life goes back to God.
It goes back to God, and it's just, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But when he breathes that breath of life back into us at the resurrection, I'm plugged back in, so to speak.
Right.
Right? So here we have, when you and I communicate with each other, we do it just like we're doing now. We
right.
talk or text or write. But Jesus can communicate with us, and the Father can communicate to us by their Spirit.
Right.
Right? What does that mean to you?
Well, I'll give you an example this morning. When my personal Bible study, I've been doing some stuff on YouTube about Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I've been studying the book of Revelation, and one of the reasons I was studying verses, chapters 15 and 16, because we had been talking here on the radio about 14
right.
and 17 and 18. So I wanted to study those verses. Anyway, long story. So I got thinking this morning about the seal of God. And so I was looking at this in Ephesians, because Ephesians 1 is talking about the seal of God, the Spirit of God being the seal of God, and how this relates to Revelation. And I happen to see Ephesians 1:17.
Okay. Yeah, you shared that with
yes.
me when we got here.
Yeah, and this was God, through his Son, preparing me for a radio program today.
Yeah, I believe that. Because you shared this text with me before we started, and then you shared it here as we were on the air.
Right.
And this is not scripted. You know, these questions that I'm asking, none of this was planned. We knew we were going to share testimony.
Right.
And, you know, I'm glad that you got to share your... There's so much more, friends.
Yeah.
There are so many details and things and lives that were affected
right.
and friendships that have been stressed, but friendships that have been really gained
right.
also, you know, as a result of this. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
There is nothing better in life than looking back and seeing how God has been, you have been used by God for his kingdom, for his proclamation of the gospel.
Right.
There is no greater sense of satisfaction than realizing that.
Amen. So I have to ask you this. Were there times in your journey that you didn't know, you were thinking, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And then you look back and you say, now I know why that happened. Is there anything in your life like that? Has anything?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened over the years why God has saved my life.
Yeah.
And an experience I had at 5 years old, knowing that, feeling the presence of God.
Right.
You know, why is all this happening?
That's amazing. So, see, it's so beneficial to grow up in a godly home.
Yeah.
You know, in a home where your parents cared for you, nurtured you, cared enough to teach you about God.
But anyone can experience the salvation of God through his Son, Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Whether if you've never opened the Bible, if you've never said a prayer, you can have a relationship with God and his Son. And, you know, the key is, friends, pray about it. Yes. Ask for wisdom.
Yes.
Pray that prayer that you prayed, Ed. Right?
Just be honest. I don't want to be deceived. Pray that prayer.
And you know, if you might say, well, how do I pray? You might not know how to pray. That's quite all right.
Yeah.
We have someone that intercedes for us, Jesus
yes.
Christ, that knows how to take that prayer to his Father.
Yes.
He knows how to interpret that for you. He knows what's on your heart
yeah.
because his Spirit can dwell in you. So that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of what we're talking about right mm-hmm. here. So we're just about out of time, Ed, and we've got about a half a minute. Did you have any closing comments or thoughts?
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, this program today, my little bit of my testimony, and hopefully we get to yours next week.
Sure.
Mark or myself, over the years, would never see us getting together
no.
into doing ministry together. It would have been no way.
I would have never dreamed. I would have laughed if somebody would have told me this 25
years ago.
This
is God working in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, this we're actually out of time. We need to close with prayer. So if it's all right, Ed, you mind if I close?
Sure.
So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful time this has been to hear Ed's testimony and the things that have just changed his life, how you and your Son have worked in his life and how he can see those things just throughout his life. Father, we just ask that those who are listening can have this same type of experience. Each journey is different, and Father, we just ask that you will knock on the door of their hearts, and if they hear anything that seems like they want to learn more or hear Bible truth, help them, Father, to have the wisdom and to open their Bibles and just simply read the words on the page. So, Father, we just ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again, and we just pray a special blessing upon each and every one who is tuned in. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for sharing that testimony. I never get tired of hearing it. And friends, we hope you tune in again next week. And remember, we're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. So until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.